Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. Follow me as I follow Christ. Those are the words that the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. The church at Corinth was a church that was trying to wrestle with its own identity. They were wrestling with what it meant to be fully obedient to Jesus. And Paul, not knowing what else to say, he made it personal. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to press hard after Jesus, and I want you to come on that journey with me. And so 1 Corinthians 11, 1, it's the theme that I'm using to tie together this entire year, because if we do not see the opportunities in what's happened with COVID-19, if we don't see the potential in the pandemic, I believe that we are missing something very critical. Let's not forget the lessons that we have been learning this last year to slow down. We need to learn the lessons of how we spend our lives, that we should spend our lives in significant things. And we should set some standards by which we live. And if we just have some standards or some values, it keeps us from becoming victims to fads and fashions, to trends and techniques and temptations. And so as a church coming out of a global pandemic, it's a great time to look at our culture. And all I've been doing is, around this, follow me as I follow Christ, is asking some questions. Why has God brought us together? Are we just a collection of individuals, or has he brought us together to form a community, to remember who and what is important? What in God's name are we doing here as we gather together for worship? Are we here to just attend church? Or, as I believe is true, that we crave an encounter with the living God, and worship is what we're made for. It encourages others. It pleases God. Let's throw our whole heart into that. And then for the last few weeks, we've been talking about service. I heard an interesting statistic. I believe it's true. I've not been able to substantiate it or disprove it, but it's a claim, and I wonder how many of you own a power drill. Power drill, if you buy a good one, it can last you 20 years, right? But the statistic says that the actual time you will use said power drill, actually putting the drill onto wood and making a hole, if you're an average do-it-yourselfer, over 20 years, you'll actually use that power drill only 14 minutes. How about that? So to think about our lives, let's say God gives you 50, 60, 70, 80, life is good, 90 years. He gives you all this time. I wonder at the end of it all, if we could go back and tabulate how much of our lives we actually spent serving Jesus, I wonder if we would be shocked at how low that number is. And so in light of our lives, in light of eternity, what are we waiting for to serve Christ? And this is a value we hold as Jesus followers, but also as a church, the value of service. So the same Paul that wrote 1 Corinthians 11, he wrote the book of Galatians. Now, the book of Galatians is a stout letter. There are some lines in the book of Galatians that I think every Christian ought to memorize. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 6, verse 2, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Stout book, but it was written to some shallow Christians. You see, the Christians in Galatia, and it's this region of Asia Minor, these Christians in Galatia were some of the first to embrace the faith. They were also some of the first Christians to flake out. They abandon, and we'll talk about this here in a minute, they abandon the gospel. So here's the way Paul starts Galatians. He introduces himself. Of course, they all know who the Apostle Paul is. And typically in one of his letters, Paul breaks into prayer. He gives a prayer. Paul didn't do that in Galatians. He goes from his introduction straight into the heart of the matter. because it's urgent business. This is a stout letter that he's writing to a shallow group of people. And he says this, and this is Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I am amazed. I'm amazed that you are so quickly turning away from the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and you are turning to a different gospel. So there's some words I want to pick up on there. He says, I'm amazed. It's that experience, and maybe you've had it before, where you're seeing something and you shake your head. You can't believe it's happening. Paul says, I'm amazed that you are quickly turning away. Now, Paul actually lifts that phrase out of Deuteronomy 32. It's that moment when Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, and the Israelites are down here with Aaron, and they make a golden calf, and they begin to worship it rather than worshiping God. And it says in, I think it's verse 8, he said, they quickly turned away. Paul says, that's exactly what you've done. You've turned away from Christ. You've turned away not from a golden calf. You've turned away from the gospel. So what is the gospel? My favorite simple definition is just simply this, that the gospel is the good news. And that's what the word gospel means. Euangelion, good news. It's the good news of what Christ has done, what Jesus has done to restore our relationship with God. That's good news. Jesus has done everything. And oftentimes when we share the gospel, we tend to start with the bad news. You know, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? That's a valid question. Or we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. That's true. But I think with the good news, we need to start with the good news. God created you. God made you, and God made you and me for a relationship with Him. But even though we were created by God, we caused catastrophe. We embedded a cancer in our relationship with God. And through our own sin, we have destroyed that intimacy that could have been ours. So this is where Jesus goes on a rescue mission, where He comes to earth, God in the flesh, and He restores that relationship with God through His death on the cross, His burial in the grave, His resurrection from the dead. This is good news. It begins with good news. It ends with good news, that God is our Creator. He is our Savior. Now, why would anyone turn away from this idea of the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done to restore our relationship with God? Well, because we are pulled in the direction of selfishness. We don't want God. We want to do our own thing. Or maybe we're pulled in the direction of self-righteousness, that we don't need God, that we can be holy on our own. We can do it by our own efforts. And both of those things pull us away from the genuine good news. And I'd like to just ask you kind of, which way do you lean? Do you kind of have that personality where you just don't want God right now? Or you, through your religion, you just don't need God right now? Let's not turn away from the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done to restore a right relationship between us and God. So I want you to imagine a TV show. Imagine this TV show features singers who want to make it big. They want to get a recording contract. They want to be famous. And so they interview in front of a panel of judges. And the judges pick people to go to the next round. And as they advance, the audience gets bigger and gets more exciting, and ultimately the winner wins a recording contract and $50,000. Now, it sounds like American Idol. It sounds like The Voice. But this is actually a show that aired for one season on the WB called Superstar USA. There was a twist to this particular competition, though, because as singers advanced, what they didn't know is that they were advancing not because they were good. They were advancing because they were bad. They couldn't hold a tune. They threw themselves into the song, but were making fools of themselves. Now, how do you get an audience to genuinely cheer for somebody who's that bad? Well, WB told the audiences that these people that were coming to sing in front of them were actually cancer patients with terminal cancer, and it was their wish to sing in front of an audience and be applauded. And so, of course, well-meaning people threw themselves into this. The end of the show, 2004, Jamie Foss was crowned as Superstar USA. You can go back and watch the YouTube video where the announcer shares with her that she was not the best singer after all, that she was the worst singer, and it is soul-crushing to watch the realization cross her face that she's not good, but she's bad. Now, it's no wonder that this show only aired for one season. Soren Kierkegaard says this. I love going from TV to philosophy. Soren Kierkegaard says there's two ways to be fooled. Two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what is not so. The other is to not believe what is so. Two ways to be fooled, to believe what is not so. And sometimes we believe what's not so. We believe that we don't need God or we don't want God. It's not so. We are made to want God. We are made to need God. That is, please don't be fooled. But then another way to be fooled is to not believe what is so. And what is so is the gospel. That Jesus Christ has done everything that needs to be done to restore our relationship with God. And by trusting Him, in Him is life eternal, endless in quality and quantity as we walk with God into eternity. So now the key point in Galatians 1 is the gospel. But then Paul goes on and he says something as a side note that is relevant to our conversation here about service. And by the way, he uses some strong words starting in verse 7. I can't believe you've walked away. You so quickly turned away to another gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. He says this, but even if we or an angel of heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. And we've said it before, I say it again, if anyone is preaching a gospel that's different, a curse be on him. I mean, some strong words here. Then Paul says this in Galatians 1:10. And again, the key thrust is the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done to restore humanity to a relationship with God, you and God. And he says this, am I now trying to win the approval of people or to win the approval of God? If I were still trying to please people, listen to this, I would not be a servant of Christ. A servant of Christ. And Paul says something here about his personal servitude to Jesus that I think we all need to hear. And what I want to give us are just a couple of phrases, way of exploring this. Serving Jesus, and here's the first statement, serving Jesus is not about pleasing people. If you want to serve Jesus, if you want to be a servant of Jesus Christ, it's not about pleasing people. Now, here's where I wish we were all in the same room together because I'd have you raise your hands. How many of you are people pleasers? And of course, you would raise your hand, unless of course you realized it wasn't going to please somebody around you, then you wouldn't. And I tend to be a people pleaser. And it starts when we're young. We want to please our parents. Then we want to please our first boss. Then we want to please our boyfriend or girlfriend or our spouses. And pretty soon as life grows and our relationships build, it almost becomes unsustainable because there's so many people to please. We might please this person over here, but displease this person. And I think anyone who's a people pleaser is just ripe for a mental breakdown. Because at some point, it's going to become unsustainable if you want to be a person of impact or influence. So I want you to hear a word of freedom today. Serving Jesus is not about pleasing people. And we see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus, in Mark chapter 10, he's approached by a man who's a young man. He's a rich man. He's influential. We call him the rich young ruler. He says, Jesus, I've tried to keep all the commands. What do I lack in eternal life? And Jesus says, I want you to go sell everything. Sell all you own and then come with that newfound freedom. Come and follow me. And the man is sad because he has a lot of wealth, or actually, he doesn't have wealth. His wealth has him. And he can't let go of that. And he walks away. And here's the hard thing. Jesus lets him walk away. People pleasers, we'd go, oh, wait, come back. Maybe if you only give away 50% of your stuff, or don't give away anything. Let's just do a 90-day trial run and see how this works. But Jesus realizes that young man's decision about him was not based on who Jesus is, but was based on what's in his heart. And Jesus wasn't telling people what they wanted to hear. He was telling people what they needed to hear. So how do you break out of this? If you find yourself to be a people pleaser and you really want to serve Jesus, how do you break yourself of that? St. Augustine, he once prayed this, and this is a man who lived 300 years after Jesus, so this has been a problem for a long time. He said, "Lord, please deliver me from the lust of always having to explain myself." Isn't that a great prayer? Lord, please deliver me from the lust of always having to explain myself. So here's the assignment I want to give you this week. If you tend to be a people pleaser, just one time this week, in a small way, don't explain yourself. And I've often said this about explaining ourselves. When it comes to our friends, no explanation is needed. When it comes to our enemies, no explanation will do. The people who really know and love us, they don't need explanations. People who don't really know us and don't trust us and don't love us, there's no explanation that's going to satisfy. So, just in a small way this week, work that new muscle. I'm just going to do my best to walk with God. I'm going to do my best to be a servant of Christ. And if it displeases somebody, big deal. That maybe has more to do with them than it has to do with me. And just in a small way, instead of trying to please people, to serve Christ. And then to go on and do the next thing. Now, I want to take Paul's words here. Again, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And I want to imply them in a different way. Serving Christ is also not about displeasing people. Okay? Serving Christ is not about pleasing people. But serving Christ is also not about purposefully displeasing people. And again, I wish we were all in the same room, and I wish I could have a show of hands. How many of you in this room, you just don't give a rip what other people think, you know, and you kind of like it when other people are ticked off? Now, I have a little bit of this in me as well. I tend to be a people pleaser when I'm rested and I'm relaxed. I want everyone to be happy, but when I get tired and a little bit sideways and angry, I don't care anymore. You know, I think we all have a little bit of that in us. I want you to hear me very clearly. Being cocky is not being like Christ. Being crotchety is not being like Christ. In fact, there's a saying that's used about Jesus: a bruised reed he will not break. If you imagine a reed, a stalk growing by a river, when it bends, it's near death. When it gets bent, it's hard for nutrients to get to the top part of that, but sometimes it can straighten itself up again and regrow. But sometimes a bent reed, if somebody else comes along and just pushes it over the edge, crushes it, it's never going to grow back. It's dead. Jesus is not out to crush wounded people. And we live in a world where a lot of people are wounded right now. And as followers of Jesus, serving Jesus is not about intentionally displeasing people. Being angry at people, hurting people, is not a fruit of the Spirit. So if being a servant of Christ is not about pleasing people, if it's not about displeasing people, what is being a servant of Christ? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Being a servant of Christ is deciding to serve people. So we serve Jesus first and foremost. We belong to Him. But a close second to that is, as servants of Jesus, we become servants to everyone else around us. This is a very simple application of that greatest commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two go together. They cannot be separated. But here's my word of caution. As we serve Jesus and as we serve others, we need to keep that proper order. That we serve Jesus first, and we serve others second. And it's a very subtle idolatry that can happen if we're not careful, that we begin to change the order of those two things. That we begin to serve people, and I'll call it an idolatry of issues. So today, we're going to air this on a Sunday morning, May 30th, the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre. Can I tell you that the message of the church is not racial unity? What a thing to say on this particular Sunday. The message of the church is not racial unity. The message of the church is the gospel. The message of the church is the good news about what Jesus Christ has done to restore our relationship with God. But flowing out of that good news, flowing out of a restored relationship with God, is a restored relationship with other people. So to take racial unity and say that is the message of the church, well, that's idolatry. But to take racial unity and ignore it altogether, that's ignorance, because it's tied to the gospel. We just need to make sure that we serve Christ first. And then afterwards, we can serve these other issues if it serves Jesus and his purpose. I'm going to give another example. Oh, and this one you may or may not like. I don't know. I guess I'm in the, I don't know if I'm a people pleaser here or not. Whatever. Odd thing happened in 2016. A person was elected as president, and some people left the church at large, and some people left this church because a certain person was elected as president. They felt like evangelical Christians should not support a person with perhaps a questionable character. Boy, I'm being really careful right now, right? People left the church over who was elected as president. Then I saw the opposite thing happen in 2020. I saw some people leave the church over who was not elected president because they felt like maybe the church wasn't being outspoken enough, and if pastors had been more outspoken, then this person would be back in office. Do you see how that's so confusing when we tie politics to our faith? That who's in the White House affects how we view who's on the throne of heaven. And again, I'm going to call it an idolatry of issues. The message of the church is not a political candidate. The message of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of the church is the good news about what Jesus has done to restore our relationship with God. And anytime we put anything as more important than that, it is idolatry. So does that mean that we shouldn't care about politics? No, I believe that the church should be people who walk with God so closely that we can speak truth to power. But I believe we should also be people who walk so humbly that we can be people who speak peace to polarization. That no matter who is in office, we remember and we rely on who is on the throne in heaven and who sits on the throne of our heart. And as St. Teresa of Avila said, and all will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. We need to remember that we serve the world, but we serve Christ first. Let me show you how powerful this can be. A friend of mine who is a longtime member of this church, much older member of this church, he's now has gone to be with the Lord. He was a part of the occupying force in Japan after the Second World War. He's part of the American occupation of Japan after Japan was defeated in the Second World War. He said that the best PR for the United States during that time, again, they had defeated the Japanese. They were a downtrodden people. They were a desperate people. And here Americans move in and they occupy this area. He said the best PR for America were the soldiers stationed there. Because it would happen every single day that a Japanese woman was trying to go out and collect firewood for her house. She could barely scrape enough together. Then she would take that load of wood and put it on her back and walk miles back to her home. But then an American GI would walk by and, being polite as Americans often are, they would take the wood off that lady's back and say, "You don't need to carry this. I've got it. Here we go. Where are we going? You lead the way." And just that simple act of service. Many of the Japanese men wouldn't serve in that way. Of course, they were humiliated at the time, but that simple act of service opened a door. The occupying force was serving the people. Listen, we are occupied. Jesus is to be the king of our lives. But as he is king of us, we don't lord that over other people. What we do is we serve in simple and significant ways so that the light of Christ may be known. Servants of Christ, not to please people, not to displease people, but to serve people, but to make sure we always serve Christ first. So we've been on a journey with Paul this morning, first in 1 Corinthians, now in Galatians, and I want to end with Philippians. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. He existed in the form of God, but he did not consider equality with God something to be taken advantage of. Instead, he assumed the form of a servant. He took on the likeness of humanity. He became a man, and he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The gospel. The good news of a restored relationship with God accomplished by Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you not to be selfish? Could I encourage you not to be self-righteous? Could I encourage you to surrender to what Jesus has done for you, to say yes, to be restored, to be a servant of Jesus Christ, and then as a result, to serve the world in his power? Jesus, I pray your blessing on every person who hears these words this morning, and I do pray that our souls would be penetrated with good news, the good news of what Jesus has done to restore our relationship with you. We can no longer ignore it. We no longer have to try so hard. We just need to surrender. And then in that surrendering, we become servants to the world around us. So Jesus, I pray from this day forward, it would be in you that we live and move and have our being. We pray that in your name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and grant you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.